You are listening to eBuzz.com. Muhammad Rasul Allah
alayhi salatu Allah. على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا الشريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, Islam lays great emphasis upon a social fabric which is stable, that there must be stability in our communities and our society. And there is no greater attribute which contributes to stability in our social and community life like that of honesty, integrity, truthfulness, and trustworthiness. Now, I've used many words which might be different in terms of its definition, but many a times it is used interchangeably and it can be regarded as synonymous to one another. And this is great emphasis has been laid in our Sharia with regard to these qualities because it contributes to a sound social structure and community. In fact, it would be fair to say that these qualities are the basis of any human society, any prosperous, any righteous human society. And of course, it would be the basis of a true Islamic society. We find in our Sharia, therefore, great emphasis has been placed upon these qualities. When we talk of honesty, honesty can manifest itself in various ways. There are many ways we can manifest with regard to honesty. One would be honesty in our speech. And when we speak, we always speak the truth and we do not speak lies. قُلِ الْحَقِّ وَلَوْ كَانَ مُرَّةً. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Abu Zar, O Abu Zar, speak the truth even if it is bitter, even if it goes against your own self. That means even if it hurts your short-term interests, your long-term interest is in speaking the truth. Then honesty with regard in our monetary dealings. As an employer, how you deal with the people who are under your employ, you have to be honest in your dealings with them. You have to be honest in your monetary dealings, which is so important, to such an extent that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has praised the person who comes through this test with flying colors, as I will later on make mention of. Then we are also supposed to be honest, which in way can also be translated and defined as doing the right thing at the right time in the right way. Someone can term that as also being honest. And perhaps something that we sometimes lose sight of is we also got to be honest to our own self. That is also part of honesty, that you be honest to your own self. And being honest to your own self means that you don't do things which goes against your conscience. And someone has given a very beautiful definition of the conscience. Conscience is that small inner voice within you that doesn't speak your language. It doesn't speak your language which tries to justify the wrong that you are doing. And being honest with yourself, for example, in Ramadan, part of our requirements of the religious duties in Ramadan is to be honest with yourself. Because fasting cannot be done unless you are honest with yourself. No one can police you 12 hours a day, whether you are adhering to the fast or not. There you have to be honest with yourself. So far, honesty can take various dimensions. But it is the basis of any righteous and a prosperous human society. In fact, we find from the hadith and from the teachings of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it is not only a good attribute in itself, but it lends itself to virtue in other spheres and other aspects of life. Therefore, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, "Alaykum bis-sidq, fa inna as-sidq yahdi ila al-birr, wa inna al-birr yahdi ila al-jannah." Such a beautiful saying of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and indeed every saying of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam is beautiful. When he said, "O people, adopt honesty, adopt truthfulness, because not only is it good in itself, fa inna as-sidq yahdi ila al-birr." But honesty and truthfulness leads to righteousness. It makes your entire character righteous. When you become truthful, it makes your entire character become truthful and becomes righteous. وَإِنَّ الْبِرَّ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ And righteousness will lead you to Jannah. Now look at one small thing, how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has put it. Adopt truthfulness because it leads to righteousness. Righteousness will take you into Jannah. And amongst the aspects that we are supposed to be of great importance with regard to honesty is, we also got to keep in mind that in many ways our conduct, it shows the beauty or otherwise with regard to Islam. And therefore, when our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started off his magnificent endeavors, the first thing Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did was to establish his credential as a trustworthy and honest person. The first thing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. And therefore, Nabi, you would recall when you know the history of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, or if anyone has read, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam summoned the people of Makkah onto the mount, and he told the people, O people of Makkah, I remain 40 years within you. In this particular 40 years, هَلْ وَجَدْتُمُونِي صَادِقًا أَمْ كَاذِبًا Did you find me to be truthful or otherwise? Did you find me to be truthful or otherwise? They all in unison said, in وَجَدْنَاكَ مِرَارًا O Prophet of Almighty Allah, we tried and tested you. He said, O Muhammad, we tried and tested you on several occasions. Every time we always found you to be truthful. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam first established his credential as a trustworthy person. He even asked them, O people of Makkah, if I were to tell you that there is an army behind this mountain which is waiting to pounce upon you and ready to attack you, would you believe me? They said, we never heard you speaking lies. And if you were to tell us this, we will believe you. Even if you can't see behind the mountain who is there. So it clearly shows that even in our endeavor to preach Islam, if we don't have honesty, it will not have the required effect. Therefore, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam first proved his credential as an honest person. Then he gave the dawah of Islam to the people of Makkah. That means if we don't have this quality, our dawah to people will not be effective. There's a very beautiful email that's doing the round of people who might be into the net and to the web. It's a hypothetical incident, but it makes a very important point. I'm sure many people who have access to it might have read it. But let me share it with people. It makes mention of a hypothetical incident of an imam, a new imam of a mosque in London. And he, after becoming the imam of the mosque, he went on a bus. So he went to the bus, he was traveling. And the bus driver gave him 50 pence extra. In terms when he paid for it, he gave him 50 pence extra. And then when he got this 50 pence, new imam still struggling to establish himself in terms of his material needs, etc. He started perhaps looking at justifying it. As it is, these people are making zulm. As it is, they are oppressing people. Maybe if I keep it, so what? They won't be able to know about it. He was grappling with his conscience, and when eventually he said that, no, I must give it back. That is what honesty requires and demands. So he went to give this 50 pence back to the bus driver, who said, are you not the imam of the, are you not the new imam of the mosque here in this area? He said, yes, I am. He said, yes, I was wanting to go and visit the mosque, but I thought I will establish and test your credentials before I go and visit the mosque. He got out of the bus and his knees became wobbly and he said, Ya Allah, I nearly sold Iman for 50 pence. I nearly sold Iman. It's a hypothetical incident, but it makes a very important point. Every time we as Muslims behave dishonestly to people of other religions, this is the type of impression we are creating. And unfortunately, it just seems to be on the increase, or at least maybe not so much. If it's not on the increase, it seems to come into the public eye more often than not. And it is something that we need to address in whatever way we can do. On the other side, just as Islam has emphasized upon honesty and integrity, Islam has also roundly condemned being dishonest and being untruthful in our speech and dishonest in the way we deal. Before I come to that, let me also make mention of one more other aspect. And that is one of the aspects where our honesty is greatly tested is in the monetary field, is in the field of business. And today, unfortunately, the situation is in a highly competitive business environment. In a highly competitive business environment, ethical considerations are the first thing that are sacrificed. Let me repeat that. In a highly competitive business environment, ethical considerations are the first things to be sacrificed. Thus, people many a times in business, I'm not saying all, but many a times, what they would do is they would find ready-made justifications with regard to their dishonesty. Like, for example, bribery. Everyone is doing it. If I don't do it, I won't get the tender. If I don't do it, someone else will do it. If I don't do it, I will lose the business. I will never be able to be competitive. These are ready-made answers or justifications that we are seeking with regard to our dishonesty. And there can be no justification for dishonesty. No, the justification for bribery and corruption. No matter how you try and justify it to yourself. At the end of the day, you got to keep in mind, you have to satisfy your conscience. To make arguments or justification is very easy. You got to satisfy your conscience. And someone has very beautifully said, the softest pillow to sleep upon is a sound and a true conscience. The softest pillow to sleep on a night is the softest pillow to sleep on night is a sound conscience. That you don't have to worry that I have sacrificed that conscience. At the end of the day, you got to go sleep at night, and you are going to ask yourself that can I be sleeping when I have been dishonest to the person who has trusted me during the day? And that is why they said the softest pillow to sleep upon is a true conscience. Nevertheless, after understanding this, and that is why Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given such a great reward for a business person who is honest and trustworthy. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said that Tajiru Saduqul Amin ma'an Nabiyina wa Siddiqina wa Shuhada'i wa Salihin. A righteous and an upright and an honest businessman would be in the company of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, in the company of the martyrs and pious people on the day of Qiyamah, because of these type of challenges. But just as honesty has been praised, in a similar manner, we got to say that dishonesty and lies has also been roundly condemned in our Sharia. Our Sharia has made mention that lies and dishonesty is the origins of all vices. The origins of all vices, and it leads to the breakdown of harmony in society. Keep in mind, I've made mention of two things. One is, it is the origins of many vices. And the second thing is, it leads down, or it leads to the corruption, or it leads to the lack of harmony in community and society. Where do I get the first thing in? From the hadith of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْكِذْبِ فَإِنَّ الْكِذْبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Oh, people, stay away from dishonesty. Because not only is it bad in itself, because it leads to transgression. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْكِذْبِ فَإِنَّ الْكِذْبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ. Look at the beauty of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's statement. Oh, people, stay away from dishonesty. Not only is it evil, but it leads to transgression in other spheres of life. And transgression leads you to Jahannam. Where dishonesty and Jahannam. Look at how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has put it. Our ulama have very rightly and very correctly said that many a times other weaknesses in the makeup and the personality of a person, they sometimes affect one aspect of your character. They affect one aspect of your character. Like, for example, if a person is a coward, he's not brave. It will only affect one aspect of your character. They will say, you are not brave. It will not affect your entire personality. A person, while being a coward, can still be a truthful person. While being a coward, he can still be a kind person. While being a coward, he can still be the compassionate person. But our ulama say, when a person is affected by lies and dishonesty, it affects his entire character. It's not one aspect that becomes blameworthy. His entire character becomes blameworthy. And thereafter, he cannot be trusted. Therefore, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was once asked, Ya Rasulullah, Ayakunul Mu'minu Jabbanan? Qala nam. Safwan bin Sulaim said, I came to the Prophet of Almighty and said, Ya Rasulullah, can a mu'min be a coward? He said, yes, possible. Ayakunul Mu'minu Bakhilan? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, possible. Can a mu'min be a miserly person? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it's not a good habit, but it's possible that you be a miser. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked, Ayakunul Mu'minu Kadhaban? Can a mu'min be a liar? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, never. He can never be a liar. There is accommodation in his personality for other weaknesses. There can never be accommodation in his personality for lies and dishonesty. The second thing that we have made mention with regard to dishonesty is, it confuses the affairs of people. And that is a great calamity and tragedy. Why is it a great calamity and tragedy is, we require the trust of people to survive in this world. How can a community be effectively effectively carry out his duties when there is no trust between people. There are so many of our affairs, husband, wife, parents, children, business partners, employer, employee, which many things are based solely on trust. And when we become liars and we become dishonest, then what happens is we confuse the affairs of people and people don't have trust in one another, which is a great calamity when we are supposed to have trust in one another. And when we don't have trust in one another, because of dishonesty becoming rife in our community today many a times parents don't trust their children, children don't trust their parents, business partners don't trust one another, and this is all because of this aspect, that dishonesty has become rife in our community. And this is so sad. Then after making mention of this, let us also make mention, and that is the reason why Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has not used as severe words for any moral weakness the way he has used for dishonesty. Let me repeat this. Allah in the Quran has not used as severe words for any moral weakness the way he has used for dishonesty. And he said, "Ala la'natullahi 'alal kadhibin." Allah's curses be upon a person who is dishonest and he speaks lies. There are very few places in the Quran and Hadith you will find such strong words against a moral weakness the way you find in the Quran. Allah's curse be upon a person who speaks lies, upon a person who is dishonest. There are various other aspects with regard to this. Let me also make mention, the greatest lie a person can speak is to lie in reference to Allah and His Rasul. It is the greatest lie. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبِ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ لِتَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ. Don't with your tongue in an eloquent manner say this is halal, this is haram, and you don't have knowledge about it, falsely attributing it to Allah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ لَا يُفْلِحُونَ. He who falsely attributes anything to Allah, he would never be successful. مَنْ كَذِبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّعْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. He who falsely attributes something to Allah, he must prepare his abode in the fire of Jahannam. Therefore the Sahaba used to shiver when they used to make mention of aspects of deen. When you say Allah says, or Rasulullah SAW said, one day Abdullah ibn Mas'ud started shivering when he said, Nabi SAW said. People said, why are you shivering? He said, look at the responsibility of what I'm saying. Then he said, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala's Rasul said so. The greatest lie is to speak a lie against Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then also there are other aspects where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention with regard to it. For example, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Ayatul Munafiqi Thalath, there are three signs of a hypocrite. Idha haddatha kadhib, when he speaks lies. When he makes a promise, he doesn't keep his promise. And when trust is given to him, he violates the trust. That is a sign of a munafiq. It cannot be a sign of a true believer. It cannot be a sign of a true believer. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu said, قَلَّمَا خَتَبَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَّا قَالْ لَا إِمَانَ لِمَنْ لَا أَمَانَةَ لَهُ. Very seldom did Nabi SAW deliver a sermon in which he did not say these words. There is no iman in a person when he is not trustworthy. Let me repeat this. There is no iman in a person when he is not trustworthy. Even if he says a mu'min, his iman is not true because he is not trustworthy. Right? A part of this particular honesty, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention that the greatest, kaburat khiyana, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uses words in Abu Dawud Sharif Hadith, one of the greatest act of treachery is you speak to someone, he, because of the trust he has in you, he regards you to be truthful, and you abuse the trust he has in you and you speak lies to him. It is the greatest act of betrayal. Someone comes to you with a good intention and you, seeing that he is taking, you know, he's got trust in you, you take advantage of the trust that he puts in you and you abuse the trust. Nabi SAW said one of the greatest act of betrayal. Another aspect with regard to lies, Nabi Kareem SAW had said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَيُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. One, it is enough for a person to be termed a liar that he relates whatever he hears. So whatever he hears, he just goes and tells it. He doesn't verify it. He hears it on a street corner, he goes and tells everyone as a matter of fact. And he sullies people's honor and their credibility and their reputation. On what basis? Not on the basis of verification, but on the basis of what he heard from someone or on the basis of what he heard from the street corners. May Allah Ta'ala forbid. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that person, you can without doubt call him a liar. Even if it happens to be that he comes out, something comes out truthful. He's still a liar because he had not used the proper method of verifying news before relating it. He's a liar. So these are the type of things. And you know, previously, Muslims used to be known for their honesty and trustworthiness. I mean, you can go throughout Islamic history. When the Roman Empire sends someone to go and see the Muslims' condition, at the time of Umar, why are they so successful? He came back and he gave a one-sentence description of the Muslim. La yakhda'u wa la yukhda. They don't deceive anyone, they are not deceived by anyone. They are not dishonest, they won't deceive anyone. And they are not so weak and so stupid that they would be deceived by anyone. The Roman Empire got up and said, if the people have these qualities, very soon they will rule the world. Right? Sahib and Nurul Anwar, when we were in studies, we used to do a kitab, Nurul Anwar, which was a kitab on the principles of jurisprudence. Because of his piety, someone, the king made him a governor of a particular place. There's a very famous incident, the people who have done Alim course, they will do it, they will know about it when they speak about the author of, and the compiler of this. So they made him a governor of a particular place. So one day someone, and just honestly came and told him, the bridge is moving, I need some money to fix the bridge. So he immediately took and he gave the money. So after the person went away, the people who were around him said, how is this possible that a bridge will move from its place? A bridge is normally fixed on its place, in its station, how can it move? How can you just give people money, you as a governor, just give people money like this? He made a remarkable statement. He said, a bridge can move from its place. A mu'min cannot talk lies. He said, a bridge, if it can move, it's possible it can move from one place to another. They told me that the bridge is moving, I gave them the money. That is possible that the bridge can move, but how is it possible for a mu'min to be called a liar? Or he can speak lies. And as a Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, I always say this, he used to say when he was small in India, even when a Muslim used to speak lies to a non-Muslim, the non-Muslim used to rebuke him and said, Musliman hokar jhoot bolta hai. So you are Muslim and you speak lies. It was unheard of. Today let us go and see our situation out there in the marketplaces, if that is a situation. If it is not, then we need to take stock of ourselves and we need to rectify the situation. It is not a healthy situation. We need collectively to do something about it. May Allah Ta'ala give a tawfiq of understanding and make an amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.